Knowing that in the near future is West Side Story, it's not this weekend, it's next weekend, in the collaboration with the Spokane Symphony and Civic Theater. We're going to spend two sessions on it. Next week at this time, we'll have another session on it. But right now, decidedly representing Spokane Civic Theater are Jake Schaefer, the creative consultant, and Henry McNulty, the music director. So, gentlemen, good morning. Good morning, first, Jake, to catch your voice. And Henry, hello. Okay. And let's jump right into the idea of collaborations, because you've been around for a few by now, haven't you, Henry? Was it just a year ago or 2 years ago when you suddenly did the what collaboration first, the Les Mis or something?
Well, Les Mis was slightly before my time as a resident, but yes, that I believe was our first major collaboration with the symphony.
And kind of how does that work from either of you? Isn't this a production that you've already created and then you return, or how does it work within this theater structure?
Well, the structure of this collaboration was a bit unusual because we had our own version of West Side Story that we presented
last fall,
yeah. And now we're forging a new version of it with the symphony, which means some changes to our original vision and obviously a more I would say classical symphonic mindset to our approach.
Sure. Well, that's inevitable because of that collaboration. And I think even right away, before we get any deeper, and from either of you, let's talk through how this changes it and what unique form you're going to do with West Side Story this way. I guess first the music. Is the music pretty much all the same songs, the same sequence and everything else?
Mm-hmm. It is largely the same. There are minor cuts to change it from a normal staged musical theater version to a more concert-based production, which means you don't have the same scene changes, the same small interludes in between scenes. But it does follow the same flow as the original show, and includes all of the music that people will expect.
Well, and then it, in a way, will flow a little better, won't it? Because you can't just go right from musically from piece to piece in doing it. And Jake, were you involved with the production in the fall?
I was not.
You're not. So you're coming into this. Are you actually directing this production, or
mm-hmm.
who's directing it?
I am. I'm directing.
Okay. So therefore, what challenges did that leave you with in modifying it, and people that expected one thing and you had to convince them another? And talk about that.
Well, I mean, anytime one company collaborates with another, there's some expectations that have to be addressed, and that was fairly evident from the beginning. And once we got underway, it came together relatively quickly from a staging perspective. It's actually pretty exciting because the whole set is the symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And then the production at Civic this fall had these two steel towers that Matt designed. He's one of our designers, and we're going to use those adjacent to the symphony. So that's pretty much the set. It's going to be very simple. And
so at least you do have that urban feeling from those two towers.
Absolutely. And Brian, who is the I think he's the facilities manager or lead designer at the Fox, he's wonderful. He's been incredibly helpful. He rented a backdrop, a New York City scape. It's going to look fantastic. This is a great opportunity for all parties because it's a real celebration of this incredible score. So we're trying to lean into that.
Right. And so then the big question is that one of the watchwords, one of the unique things about West Side Story was the emphasis on dance. And how does that fit into this production?
Well, Jerome Robbins conceived it largely, and being a director choreographer, one would think that it's all about the choreography until you start to read the history and find that it actually is all about the book.
Mm.
And consequently, the score, which was the second thing that was put together, it's actually really exciting to not have that roadblock in the middle for a production like this where we only have 3 days of rehearsal before we have to present it. So it literally is celebration of the score and minimal blocking.
Nice. Well, and I know you've been really immersed in a lot of the beginnings of West Side Story, the evolution, because no Broadway show springs finished from the first moment and goes through changes and evolutions, and you have some interesting ideas about that.
They thought it was going to be a flop, which I find the most fascinating. It's one of the most licensed musicals around the world. Mm-hmm. And in, I think it was 57 or 58, they literally thought it was going to be a flop. Went through a bunch of name changes. Teams were coming and going. Leonard Bernstein's conductor career completely took off at the mm-hmm. beginning of it. So he didn't know if he was going to have the time to even mm-hmm. invest into West Side Story, especially considering some of the very first rehearsals were very, very rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine in when we've all been involved in new ideas and productions, it was so revolutionary in some ways that isn't that a good reason to assume something could be a flop because
For sure.
It would just be too weird?
Yeah, too much.
Yeah.
Even the story, though, evolved. It was originally Irish Catholics as the Jets and Jews as the Sharks. So, and now I assume that would have been considered more downtown Lower East Side or something. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it's Upper West Side. That's where it ultimately takes place. But I was telling Henry earlier, for me, the funniest is the title evolution. It started as East Side Story, and then it went to Romeo. And then I think from Romeo, it was Gangway. That was Sondheim's first contribution mm-hmm. to the project. Gangway, one word, exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
And then big New York Times spread, new Leonard Bernstein show sets title, period. It's West Side Story, period. I mean, it's like so significant.
Well, I being 11 years old when it came out, I remember that the gang issue was a big issue in the news. This was a sociological thing happening. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that the gang thing would have been really relevant
mm-hmm.
At that time. Do you know really why they moved it to Puerto Ricans and Italians?
I believe because the gentrification that they were experiencing, being New Yorkers themselves, was happening where now Lincoln Center is,
sure.
which is Upper West Side, which back then I'm mm-hmm. assuming was probably those two worlds colliding.
Well, yeah, and even the building of Lincoln Center was kind of an urban renewal thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Very interesting, all of it. But it's been a very interesting experience. I can't wait to hear it. I'm very much looking forward to next weekend.
Now, this production, then there's a further factor ingested here because you have some outside singers, right?
Yep, some guest artists.
Yeah, talk about them.
Matthew Heidzik is playing Tony, and Cody Green is playing Riff, both of which played those same roles in the 2009 Broadway revival. Michaela Bennett is playing Maria. She's an incredible singer. She actually sang with Matthew Heidzik in Palm Springs, mm-hmm. the same production. They had a great experience, so that mm-hmm. was a lucky happenstance. And Eden Espinosa is coming in to sing Anita, which a lot of us have no words. I mean, she's going to crush it.
Mm-hmm. And so you do have these singers coming in. And so, Henry, how do you does this make the rehearsal process kind of tricky because you won't have them until the last minute? And are you using stand-in singers for rehearsal purposes, your people from the fall or something?
For the most part, we're just rehearsing the purely ensemble moments mm-hmm. In the show right now. I think that it's important for us to have there be a clear distinction between the two productions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not doing stand-ins from the previous mm-hmm. Version. It's all it's very much conceived as this being its own iteration of West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few cast members from the original, in fact, who are now taking on different roles in this version. Because of the guest artists coming in.
Sure. And
which I think we're lucky to get.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think
that's
a huge part of who we are as, you know, the leading community theater in the area, to have our talent be exposed to that talent. I mean, different experiences. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is coming together.
Yeah, no, everybody learns from each other in those productions. And always that fine line between concert versions and staged versions, and you probably like to push the edge a little bit there.
Don't even get me started. Just the libretto alone is making me crazy.
For instance,
what do you keep for the sake of story versus what do you cut for the sake of songs?
Mm.
Been driving myself nuts for 2-3 weeks now. But I'm very confident with where it is right now. It's enough story to inform the audience while still keeping its roots in the score.
That actually brings up a peripheral issue on something as famous as West Side Story. In any work that, 70% of your audience says, oh yeah, West Side Story, that they know it intimately, and then I assume a certain percentage are coming new to it. How do you walk that tightrope?
I'm actually looking at it from three sides. Those that don't know West Side Story at all, those that are privy to West Side Story, the property, whether it's the musical or the film, and then the other side, which in Spokane, especially some of my family members, only know of it as a film. So,
oh, sure. Oh, yeah, that would be a large way that many people know it.
I don't want to release too much information, but there is a surprise for the prologue that we're all really excited about, a little homage to that. As far as concept is concerned, how you sort of field it all together, I watched the movie once a few weeks ago just as a sort of energy feel, and I'm trying to stay away from it. I'm not listening to any cast recordings or anything, just sticking to our minimal rehearsals, which Henry is running very smoothly, considering the limited time.
Well, sure, yeah, because this is in the middle of an otherwise busy season.
You just closed
a show last weekend.
Well, he's doing Hello, Dolly Monday through Thursdays and Saturdays, and West Side Story rehearsals are Fridays and Sundays.
Oh, there you go. When does Hello, Dolly open?
May 12th.
Okay, so you are doing some serious multitasking. I'm spending time with Jake Schaefer, the creative consultant for Spokane Civic Theater, and Henry McNulty, the music director for Spokane Civic Theater, about this production of West Side Story, which is two nights, April 20th and 21st at 8 o'clock at the Fox, appropriately enough, because it's a collaboration between the Spokane Symphony and Spokane Civic Theater, a collaboration that's becoming fairly well cemented lately, and with Morihiko Nakahara conducting. And were you involved in any previous collaboration in which Morihiko conducted?
I was not.
You were not, because, of course, the beauty here is that Morihiko is so absurdly competent that he just magically makes so many things work. He's such an inherent problem solver in his conducting.
I believe I speak for Henry and I both. We've heard such great things about him and that the orchestra is so responsive to him.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of the promise here, is that even though we do have limited rehearsals, those that we get are going to be highly concentrated. So we'll be ready.
Oh, yeah, and make it happen for these two performances of West Side Story. We're in a little bit going to get to a tune from West Side Story, a really famous tune. I loved it as a kid. And anything else interesting about this production that we haven't talked about?
Well, from my perspective, it's going to be a very interesting process for me as I step down from the baton, which was my contribution to the show for all of the weeks that we did the performances last fall, and now joining the vocal ensemble and doing this with a completely separate group. I think it will be very interesting for me and for everyone who is returning from the previous production to get to look at how the same show can be done by two different organizations and what changes, what stays the same.
Well, and the beauty of art that it has that latitude to be different and kind of a masterclass in conducting that any of us get to when we get to encounter Morihiko. That was certainly my experience of West Side Story. Well, why don't we send you out for a great tune from West Side Story and tell us who the Krupke singers are that we have right now, Jake.
Yep, some of our ensemble are going to be singing G. Officer Krupke for you. We have Jameson Elton, David Hardy, Jonah Taylor, and Logan West on piano, Janet Roble.
And so we're on our way into the studio. They're going to get organized and ready to go. We have that vocal ensemble ready. So let's hear G. Officer Krupke from West Side Story.
Hey, you!
Who, me, Officer Krupke?
Yeah, you! Give me one good reason why I shouldn't drag you down to the station house, ya punk!
Dick kindly, Sergeant Krupke. You gotta understand, it's just our bringing up key that gets us out of hand. Our mothers all are junkies, our fathers all are drunks. Golly Moses, naturally we're punks.
Officer Krupke, we're very upset. We never had the love that every child ought to get. We ain't no delinquents, we're misunderstood. Deep down inside us, there is good.
There is good.
There is good.
There is good.
There is untapped good. Like inside, the worst of us is good.
That's a touching good story.
Well, let me tell it to the world.
Just tell it to the judge.
Deep. Dear kindly judge, your honor, my parents treat me rough. With all their marijuana, they won't give me a puff. They didn't wanna have me, but somehow I was had. Leaping lizards, that's why I'm so bad.
Right, Officer Krupke, you're really a square. This boy don't need a judge, he needs an analyst's care. It's just his neuroses that ought to be caved. He's psychologically destined.
I'm destroyed!
We're destroyed!
We're destroyed!
We're the most destroyed! Like we're psychologically destroyed!
In the opinion of this court, this child is depraved on account of he ain't had a normal home.
Hey, so I'm depraved on account I'm deprived.
So take him to a head shrinker.
Oh, no.
My father is a bastard. My ma's an SOB. My grandpa's always plastered. My grandma pushes tea. My sister wears a mustache. My brother wears a dress. Goodness gracious, that's why I'm a mess.
Yes, Officer Krupke, you're really a slob. This boy don't need a doctor, just a good honest job. Society's played him a terrible trick, and sociologically he's sick.
I am sick!
We are sick, sick, like we're sociologically sick.
In my opinion, this kid don't need his head shrunk at all. You see, juvenile delinquency is purely a social disease.
Hey, I got a social disease!
Oh, so take him to a social worker.
Dear kindly social worker, they say go earn a buck, like be a soda jerker, which means like be a schmuck. It's not I'm antisocial, I'm only anti-work. Glorioski, that's why I'm a jerk.
Look, Officer Krupke, you've done it again. This boy don't need a job, he needs a year in the pen. It ain't just a question of misunderstood. Deep down inside him, he's no good.
I'm no good.
We're no good.
We're no good.
We're no earthly good. Like the best of us is no damn good.
The trouble is, he's crazy.
The trouble is, he drinks.
The trouble is, he's lazy.
The trouble is, he stinks.
The trouble is, he's growing.
The trouble is, he's grown.
Krupke, we got troubles of our own. Gee, Officer Krupke, we're down on our knees. 'Cause no one wants a fellow with a social disease. Gee, Officer Krupke, what are we to do? Officer Krupke, Krupke!
From our studio, Officer Krupke, they're sung by Jameson Elton, David Hardy, Jonah Taylor, and Logan West, with Janet Robo as the pianist. From that production, which is coming along not this weekend, but next weekend, April 20th and 21st at Fox, and so be watching for that.